Dr. George Pinkerton, Reel 3. So, what sort of... You were explaining how you did an inspection in the morning and people came to you with their medical complaints. What categories did those generally fall into? Because these men had been on active service for a very long time, hadn't they?
We had a lot of desert sores, you know, which are skin ulcers, and particularly around the ankle and so on. And they were quite common. And, of course, malaria was still cropping up all the time.
Mm. What treatments did you have for these desert sores?
We've tried all sorts of things, but nothing seemed to do very much good. But we just put dressings on them, really, and just clean them up and so on.
Are they caused by rubbing, by clothing?
Or I think it's probably emissions of sunlight, plus a bit of rubbing and so on. Mm. Mm. I got one later on when I was scraped my foot diving in when I was on leave, and it lasted a couple of years, or a year or so before it got better.
Right, right. So, what was the general health of the battalion?
Very good. Very good. Apart from the fact, as I say, there was endemic malaria. Every so often we would get a few cases of malaria.
So, how about the mental health of the battalion? I mean, they've been through a lot.
I think they were very, very good. They were very cheerful. Mm. We used to get these sort of funny little air letter things, you know, which kept our morale up a bit.
Because they'd been abroad for a long time, haven't
they? They'd been abroad since, for about a couple of years. Mm.
Did they feel very, very cut off from, you know, the loved ones at home and the girlfriends?
I think they probably did, yes. Well, we all did, but, you know, but you couldn't do anything about it. There was no way you could get home.
So they were in Cwm for the King's Own Yorkshire Light Infantry. Were in Cwm for several months, really.
Yes, we weren't actually in Cwm. We were in the desert outside. Mm. It's very beautiful up there, very high up. You're about 5,000 feet above sea level. On the Persian plateau, and the mountains in the distance. It was really rather lovely. And we lived dug in and dispersed on the desert there, on the off chance that the Germans might come along and bomb us. The Germans were about 500 or 600 miles away on the other side of the Caucasus, so they weren't terribly likely to.
So you were there, the battalion was there as a security.
That's right, really, in case the Germans came down to try and get the oil fields through the Caucasus. But, of course, at the same time, the Russians duffed them up at Stalingrad, so we were then free to move on our way, which we did by moving across with a view to invading southern Europe.
Right. So you moved from Cwm to...
We went...
Cabrit,
which is on the Suez Canal.
Right, OK. So quite a different, terrain there.
It was quite different terrain. A very interesting trip over, too, because we did it by train from Cwm down to Arwaz, I think. And then again by train up to Baghdad... And then from Baghdad, we got our transported, got there by then. And we then came by transport across the desert again into Mafraq, which is in southern Palestine. Mm-hmm. And it was very interesting to come in from the desert into the spring of the Mediterranean coastline, these lovely fields of wild flowers. We hadn't seen a wild flower for months. Mm. Then we went down through into Egypt and down to Cabrit, which is on the Suez Canal, on one of the bitter lakes.
Mm. Mm. So what sort of a station was that there? I mean, you made camp, you were under canvas, I suppose.
Yeah, we were under canvas, yes, it was. And, of course, where we did our combined operations training with one of the brigades went up to the Syria to do mountain warfare training. Mm-hmm. But we were doing training to do the actual landing, and so which we
this
practiced.
Was the landing where?
In Sicily.
In Sicily, right.
We didn't know it was Sicily, of course.
No. So what sort of training did you do for that then?
We got into we learned to load ourselves into landing craft, and to sit in landing craft and how to leap out of landing craft, and invade the shores, so to speak. Really, what we did. And we did that in across the Bitter Lake, which is quite a quite a sizable piece of water. And we repeatedly invaded the eastern shore of the Great Bitter Lake.
So, did you have any idea where you were going? Did you thought it would be the Mediterranean?
Well, we knew it would be somewhere in the Mediterranean. We didn't know it would be Greece or Crete or where it would be. We had no idea really.
Did you hear a lot of the progress of the war in other parts of the
world? Oh yes, we used to get we always had radios. We could sort of get what the what was going on. And then anyway, there we were in Cambridge for a time, and then we shift, but we were going to do the landing from the big ships came up to Suez, and we boarded this, and we did an exercise. You see, these liners had the landing craft slung in their davits. Landing craft carried about, I suppose, about 30 men, or perhaps not quite as many as that, but anyway, about that sort of number of people go. And they were slung in the davits. And then we turned around and we went down and came up to the Gulf of Aqaba. Up to Aqaba, where we did an exercise. We all got in our landing craft and were lowered into the sea and went ashore and invaded Aqaba. They built a sort of little or almost sort of like a film set there to show where a town was. We didn't know what town it was going to be, and so on.
Right.
That was quite an interesting exercise then, except that there was a howling dust storm which developed, and eventually they had to abandon the exercise about lunchtime because nobody could see. But it was rather funny, that exercise, because one of the things that was going to be done was it was assumed that the shore we landed on would be lined with barbed wire, and so the engineers had prepared a thing called a Bangalore torpedo. Do you know what a Bangalore torpedo is? A Bangalore torpedo is made of a series of about 12 foot lengths of drain pipe, which screw into each other. They're filled with explosives, you see. And what you do is you screw as much of this as you want to cover your barbed wire, and then a bold assortment of chaps rushes up to the wire, pushes it under the wire, and fires the Bangalore pedo off, and the bits of piping fly apart and cut the wire off, you see. Everybody was scared to death of this thing because nobody used one before. Everyone used in this war up until then. and we were all very relieved when there was a tremendous bang and the Bangalore torpedo had gone off and nobody had been killed. Anyway, we had to abandon that, and then we went back and got into our craft, which was called the Reina del Pacifico. And we went up back to Suez again. And then we got off and spent another few very, very hot and uncomfortable days in camp beside the Suez Canal.
So you've been with the King's Own Yorkshire Light Infantry for a little while now. So how do you get on with the other officers?
What very well. Very well.
What memories do you have of them?
Oh, well, they were very nice chaps. The CO was a nice man. I didn't get to know him very well because he got wounded as soon as we landed in Sicily.
What was his name?
His name was Douglas. Known as Dolly Douglas he was. He was a very nice man. I know, doesn't know very well. And the Pat Munro, who was one of the company commanders, Sloth Pope, who was another company commander, and the most remarkable chap of all, he deserves a room of his own at the Imperial War Museum, is a chap called McCausland Riggs, who was the second in command. I'll tell you more about him later.
Right, yes, do you?
Then the intelligence officer and the adjutant and so on, we all got quite made. Because, you see, the medical officer is a member of the tactical headquarters of a battalion. There's just the CO, sometimes the second in command, the intelligence officer, the signals officer, quartermaster sometimes, and the medical officer. And they sort of a little group who go around together.
Mm. How much were you briefed regularly by the by your CO or whoever on what was happening and what his concerns were and so on?
I think we would talk about these things in the mess.
Right.
But we, you know, we didn't know where we were going. Anyway, we were, as I say, had a pretty hot time. The only thing we swam in, I think, was beside the Suez Canal, where we stayed for a few days and then got back in the liners. And the whole lot came through in procession through the Suez Canal, these enormous troop ships.
Yeah.
The Reina del Pacifico was about 24,000 tons, I think. Nice boat, nice ship, and we finished up in the other end of the Suez Canal. What's it called? Anyway,
Portside.
Portside, that's right. Mm-hmm. We finished up in Portside, and then we had a day in Portside. All the ships unloaded there. Their troops and all the troops went for a swim in the sea. We had a lovely day out in the sea, and then we went back and got on board, and the next day we set off.
Right. Did you by then know where you were going?
We were told as soon as we lifted anchor.
Right. And what was your reaction to the
news? Well, you know, we were glad to know where we were going. Mm-hmm. And they told us we were going to Sicily. They gave us a little notebook to tell us. Something about the Sicilians, you know, the sort of history of Sicily and the fact that one had to be very careful of making any eyes or any sort of look at this Sicilian woman and if you didn't want to get your throat cut. We got the issue, of course, with this money, not local money, but what do they call it anyway? The sort of notes that you could pay for things with. And then the Sicilians could cash it in. And then there we were. We formed up in convoy and set off for Sicily. Mm.
So what was the reaction of the ranks to...
I think God we're off, I think.
Right.
You know, we'd had enough messing about.
Mm.
Mm. I think it was about the 5th of... Must have been about the 5th of July that we set sail. I wouldn't be certain of the date, but about that. Mm-hmm. Because the actual Sicilian invasion was on the 10th. And we'd all formed up, because there were convoys coming from the other way as well. There was Americans were coming from North America. And the Canadians, too, were coming out from England, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And we formed up just south of Malta and then set sail for Sicily. And just before, It was still light, and before the wind really started, got up too much, you could see Etna in the distance. It was very clean, you know. It must have been 50 or 60 miles away, but you got a very clear view of Etna.
Did you see any enemy active?
Nobody came near us. We were completely surrounded by warships and so on. I think they'd been a bit silly if they had come. And of course, we also had the air cover from North Africa then. Also, the other thing was, just before it got dark, was we had the sight of a tremendous air raid on Syracuse, I think it was, with flak coming out and all sorts of exciting things. And of course, by this time, it was also blowing. And it got very rough. It got so rough that the whole thing was very nearly called off. But anyway, I think we were due to land about 4 a.m, I think, it was an HR. So we got in our... climbed into our landing craft, all in order, and were then lowered into the sea, which was very rough. And of course, the entire boatload was sick before we'd gone a mile. We headed for shore, and I had an enormous respect for the Navy, but the Navy had done what any unit always did if they were asked for volunteers for something. That's a good chance to get rid of old so-and-so. So they got rid of old so-and-so, and an awful lot of the chaps who were manning the landing craft, and they only had, we just had one sub-lieutenant or whatever it was who was steering the thing, hadn't got a first clue about navigation. I mean, I shouldn't have thought you could have gone wrong. I could have done it. But anyway, they didn't. And so when the light came, it began to get light. The first thing that happened was we started passing, hearing lots of shouts from the water. We didn't know what the hell this was. And we then realized that about half the airborne troops, we'd heard the aircraft going over before, half the airborne, glider-borne troops had been landed in the water by mistake. And of course, we couldn't stop. So we had to press on with these poor blokes who were sort of yelling for help. When the shore did come up, we went 5 miles out of where we ought to have been. So we turned right up the coast, and people taking a few casual shots at us, not with any success at all, with no enthusiasm about it, and eventually got to our right beach when we... which we then went ashore about 10 minutes late, or more than that, quarter of an hour late.
Right, I'll stop you just there. What sort of briefing did you get before you set to invade Sicily? You know, how much sort of information had you been given?
We had spent a lot of time looking at models and maps. Mm-hmm. And so on. We knew exactly where we were supposed to go and what we would find. Right. And I mean,
did you have an objective? I mean, did you know where you were going?
This was a thing called How Green. We had two beaches, and How Green was my beach. That's rather lovely, I think. We eventually got to How Green, and then we had to go and shore and turn right along the shore and conquer a village called Cassibile, which was about 2 or 3 miles up the coast. Mm-hmm. That was what we were supposed to do.
Right, and so. Did you have plans then as to where you should set up your aid post?
I was just going along and see what was required.
Right. How did you feel? I mean, this was the first time.
Oh, very exciting.
Been in the army for a while. Yeah. You'd actually gone into action.
It was all rather exciting.
Right.
You know, we got shot at a bit going in. Machine guns sort of thing went off. But one sort of had a rather odd feeling. I was rather interested more than scared at that time. It was a curious thing, really, looking back on it. Mm.
Yeah. How did you feel about leaving those chaps in the water? Because I'm sure
we did. We're very sorry. I mean, you know, but it couldn't be helped, could it? It was just an awful boob on the part of the, I think it was the American towing planes.
Mm. Mm. Right. So you jumped out of your landing craft along with your buddies.
And duly went ashore.
Mm-hmm. So what, this was 4 a.m. Was it still dark?
Or? It was getting light. Mm. It was getting light. You could just vaguely see.
Was there any firing on?
There was, yes. There was the odd few chaps were shooting, and there was a gun further inland that was shelling the beaches, not very effectively, and a couple of aeroplanes appeared, and appeared to be trying to shoot us, but it took jolly good care to keep rather out of the way, I think. Anyway, we then went through these orchards, and there was a badly wounded Italian soldier there. He was a nice chap, and he was very apologetic about the whole thing. He said, "We should never have fought you." He said, "My comrades have all run." He was a nice chap. He was quite badly wounded. I only hope he survived. Then we marched inland a bit. We didn't really see any sign of opposition until we got on the road, when we had to turn right to Cassibile. Someone managed to get a handcart at this stage, and one or two people picked up bicycles. So the heavy gear was put on the handcart and trundled up this road until we got to Cassibile, which was duly, I think, there weren't any Germans there. The Germans were further away.
So what sort of a place was Cassibile?
Oh, just a little tatty Sicilian village. Mm-hmm.
And you saw Sicilian people there. What was their attitude?
Yeah, they were pleased to see us, actually. But you didn't see many of them, because most of them stayed indoors and kept their heads down. Mm. And then we were told, had been told when we, first of all, when we came out to Cassibile, we then climbed up a hill onto I don't know what it was, a little place at the top of the hill where we had to spend the night. And we were told before we left altogether that our transport would join us at about 5 hours, at H plus five, at the top of a Mount Hill. And they jolly well did, you know. It absolutely impressed me. I mean, we hadn't seen our transport for about 6 weeks, because it all been loaded separately, all loaded weeks before we went off. Mm. And there it all turned up.
All right. So you met at the top of this hill?
Yeah. And then we settled down for the night and watched a spectacular air raid on Syracuse. And at this time, of course, it was the Germans raiding it, because one of our brigades had gone into Syracuse and taken it. So we were further in then. And we spent the night there.
Could you see the sea?
Yes, we could, yes. Right. Yes.
Were there any ships?
Oh, yes, there were ships everywhere. There was one German, one hospital ship, which was bombed, clearly marked hospital ship, too. They shouldn't have done that. But, yes, we could see the sea. And, of course, you could also see we had a cruiser. a cruiser attached to the brigade, with a gunner officer. We always called him Pink Gin Freeman, because he rather liked a pink gin, but he was always known as Pink Gin Freeman, and he could bring down fire if required. If he was acting as an observer, if he saw something he didn't like, look about half a mile ahead, he would call up Penelope, who was his cruiser, and Penelope would give it a dose of 8-inch guns. I think Penelope was only 6-inch guns. Anyway.
So that night on top of the hill, you actually saw the hospital ship bombed, did you?
I didn't see it bombed. I saw it on fire.
Right. What effect did that have on you and the men around you?
Well, just made it cross, I think. It was rather unnecessary, because it was so clearly marked with red crosses all over it. I don't think it got many people on it either, fortunately.
Yes, right. So, the next morning, did you get much sleep that night, or...?
I got so used to sleeping in uncomfortable places, I really can't remember. I think so. Yes, I think I got reasonable night's sleep. Mm. And the next day, what did we do the next day? We pressed on a bit. We didn't really meet any opposition at that point. It was just a few odd bumps and bangs and things. While we were going along, the next objective, Syracuse had been taken the first day, and the next objective was Augusta, which is another port a little bit along the coast. And we had an absolute ringside view of Augusta, because we were marching inland, about a little bit up a hill, and Augusta was down to the right. Augusta had a nice little harbour with breakwaters and things around it, and the town itself was along one side. And into this harbour, very cheekily poked its nose, a destroyer, and went round the harbour slowly, and nobody shot at it. But some fool let fly at it from the shore eventually. And, of course, the destroyer turned around and let the shore have a barrage, and then went fairly smartly out into the open. Mm-hmm. And a few minutes later, in came, I think, about three landing craft with the commandos on. And they had a classical little battle of the commandos taking Augusta. Had a first-class view of it.
So this was daytime when the commandos...
Oh, yes, this was daytime, yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they came in and took Augusta. And then we pressed on. I can't remember where we spent the night. They're somewhere out on the plain there anyway. Mm-hmm. And...
Did you know what your objective was, or where you were going?
Well, we knew eventually. We were hoping to get right along the coast to Messina, and the Americans, you see, come in on our left, and they were going across country. Mm. They had a much easier ride actually, because there were not many troops, certainly no Germans there, or very few Germans there. But by about this time, of course, the Germans were reacting and were coming down, so they were getting a bit more stiffer opposition. And we arrived in got a little place called Priolo. I remember Priolo. We were marching through Priolo when there was a regiment of our light anti-aircraft guns coming through Priolo, and while we were marching through Priolo, a couple of Messerschmitts decided to try and shoot us up, and it was real chaos for about a couple of minutes, because these light chaps were absolutely delighted to have something coming low to shoot at, so they swung around their old Bofors and started pelting up these ships. Of course, they were shooting from quite a narrow street, so quite a few of the shells were hitting the rooftops and things. It was really rather exciting for about a couple of minutes. And then the Messerschmitts cleared off, and we went on with our quiet walk through Priolo.
Right. So the battalion hadn't, apart from firing at the aircraft, they hadn't fired in anger?
No, no, no. Right. The odd bods haven't been the right sort of place, yes. Mm. But we made up for that the next day, because we came up... You're doing all right?
Yes, okay.
We came up to what we called the Battle of the Gorge, which we came up a hill up onto a sort of open, pretty open sort of landscape at the top of this hill, and there seemed to be people shooting about going on up there. And anyway, we went on up, and what we found was that the Germans had got, there was a deep gorge running, as there were quite a lot of these gorges in Sicily, and they're quite deep, about 200-300 feet deep. Mm-hmm. And the Germans were sitting on the other side of this gorge, and they had a self-propelled gun there. And we were sitting on the other side, and things were whistling about there.
Nice.